Amen.
I, a while back, I did the, it was The Little Maid. There's a second part to this. It's called The Little Maid's Parents. Can we all bow our heads for a word of prayer? Dear Lord, thank you so much. As I go through this, let your Holy Spirit move through me. I'm just an instrument up here for you, Lord. And we just ask that you will guide me and that people will hear what needs to be heard, Lord, and that their ears will be opened and their mind. And we just ask that what comes out of my mouth is all to your glory, Lord. And we just ask this in your precious name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This was kind of interesting. You stop and think about the title, The Little Maid's Parents. How often do we look at what the maid's, little maid's parents, what they did for her and what they taught her? And the introduction to this is, captured by Naaman, snatched from her home and parents, and focused into and forced into slavery in Syria, Scripture thus introduces the little maid who soon realized that Naaman, her captor, was dying from leprosy. Would that my lord were with the prophet is in Samaria, he would cure him from leprosy. 2 Kings 5:3. So said the little maid to Naaman's wife. What? She spoke volumes about her parents and to her parents and to our parents today and to parents today. You know, if you stop and think about the little maid and everything that was that she had done and how she had represented herself, it's quite interesting. I love the example of how this person brought this all out. What the little maid did say. The little maid pointed Naaman's wife to Elisha, God's prophet in Israel. In 2 Kings 4, we read four miracle stories of Elijah. The miracle provision of oil for the widow so she didn't have to sell her children into slavery. The raising from the dead of the Shunammite boy. The removal of deadly poison from the soup about to be eaten by the students. And the miracle multiplication of a few loaves and some ears of grain into the food, significant for 100 starving people. Elijah performed miracles that showed God's power over death, disease, deadly poison, and desperate financial and family circumstances. He is the God who delivers. There is no human challenge beyond his reach. The little maid's witness reveals the importance of parenting in harmony with Deuteronomy 11:18-21. I wanted to read that. Can you have my... I forgot that. Sorry, I'm no professional preacher up here, but I do my best. Would you guys turn to Deuteronomy 11? And I'll read it. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign of your hand. They shall be a frontless between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when You are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up, ye shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. Amen. There's going to be a little bit of this in here. She learned in her home that God's people were to be the light of the nation. There is no higher trust than the committed to fathers and mothers in the care and training of their children. Rather than sinking into bitterness, who chose to be an agent of healing and conversation for the obstinate enemies of God? We know not in what line our children may be called to serve. They may spend their lives within the circle of the home. They may engage in life's common vacations or go as teachers to the gospel to heathen lands. But all are alike called to be missionaries for God, each and every one of us. Ministers of mercy to the world. They are to obtain an education that will help them to stand by the side of Christ in unselfish service. Parents, caregivers, we are raised our children not merely to love God, but to be His witness wherever life takes them. We raise them so that whilst we do not know where they will go, we know with whom they will go. Well, we may plant the seed of the word in their hearts and then allow the Spirit to bring a harvest in due time wherever they may go. The little maid's witness reveals her parents to be part of God's hidden yet faithful remnant in apostate Israel may be. Even among the 7,000 Israels, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal. 1 Kings 19:18. From her parents she had learned to love for her enemy, compassion in speech, mercy for the lost, and to point others to God. Her action reflected the parents' careful instructions in the fear of the Lord. What do you think, how would we instill, just not in our children, and in our everyday life, how can we show that we fear God? I mean, you guys answer. This is part of open. You know, what do you think we should do?
Obedience.
I know. That's wonderful.
By precept and example, okay. I know when my children, they were growing up, we would go through the commandments one day, and then we'd go through 23rd Psalms or whatever, but the commandments every day. And I was kind of instilling that into them as they were growing up, and my husband too, to learn.
Yeah.
Everybody learned.
That's right. Amen. And that's, you know, it's, I've always struggled with, I love that you brought that up, obedience. I was hoping somebody would. I know for me in my own life, obedience, I've always kind of struggled with that just because of the way I was raised a little bit. But it's so important that we understand the true love of obedience and why we need to surrender to God and love Him out of obedience, not out of a fear of torment or torture or anything like that. And it's so important. And it's hard. I know I struggle with it in my own life. Which translated politically and ethically boundaries and her faith that is left Yahweh high. He could and would draw all people to Him, even a leprosy war criminal like Naaman. What little maid didn't say, there is much she could have said. about Israel other than the point, than point to God. In her parents' lifetime, Ahab was king, a wicked king. He had married Jezebel. I don't know how to pronounce the tribe that she was from. Syrophoenicians, princess. Who imported Baal worship in Israel. Hundreds of prophets of Baal from the public pursue Jezebel. I hunted and killed all God's prophets. Faithful Naboth and his family lay dead, killed at the conniving of Ahab, Jezebel's false prophets and corrupted civil leaders. A huge temple for Baal worship had been built in Samaria. Golden calves have been installed in Dan and Beth to prevent Israel from worshiping in Jerusalem. The rich oppressed the poor. Injustice was rife. Israel's society was rotten from top to bottom. You know, it's no matter what, we need to realize in this world that we live in that no matter what happens, we have to keep that obedience to God. We have to keep loving Him. Keep a focus on Him and put Him first in our life. Yes, there was much the little maid could have said. But did she criticize of God's people to non-believers? Never leads to their conversion. It merely hardens them in their unbelief. Had the little maid waxed lyrics about Israel's problem of the future of Israel's leadership, Naaman may never have been converted. He would have remained a leprous man, war dying without hope. Many who listen to the preaching of the Word of God make it the subject of criticism at home. They sit in judgment on the sermon, the message that should be regarded as the Word of God to them. It dwelt upon with trifling or scornful comments. Serving judgment is pronounced. And this is the hearing of the unconverted. Thus are destroyed respect for God's message and reverence for their message. And the parents question why their children are so little interested in the gospel. Oh, parents, be careful what you say. If you have genuine reason for concern, speak privately, or you may inadvertently be raising gospel-hardened hearts in your home. I think that can go for, you take that scenario, it can go for anything that we can say or do to people that are outside of the church or even in the church. And, you know, I have to say at some point in my life, I was probably guilty of that myself, and we all could be. And it's hard. You know, we think we're doing the right thing, and really we're not. We hope our plans do not go awry. Sin introduces a via disease, discouragement, divorce, depression, death. The little maid did not plan on being kidnapped and forced into slavery, but she did purpose on being faithful to God of Israel, no matter what happened in life. I'm going to bring out a little illustration that I learned this week as I was going through work and everything and was able to listen to some sermons. Purpose and priority. Those are the two big things that we really need to learn in life. What is our purpose? What is our priority? Is our priority number one God in our home? Is our purpose number one priority, God in our home or in our life, however you want to put it? Purpose, God is our number one purpose. He should be our number one focus. Priority,
yes.
How do we prioritize God in our life? Even our work, everything, how we do it. Purpose and priority. No matter what happens in life, who sent the little Israel maid to the help of Naaman, the Syrian captain, sent men and women and youth today as his representatives to those in need of divine help and guidance. Like Paul and Silas singing in jail, Jonah praying in the belly of the fish, or Daniel and his three friends purposing in their heart to not defile themselves, so that the little maid had little control over her external circumstances, but she could choose a God-honoring response. So can we. You know, and that's so important. No matter what happens in our life, no matter where we go, where God puts us, it may not be our plan. It may not be where we want. But we can look at little maid's parents and little maid. She took a terrible situation and made something beautiful out of it. And that's what's important. Are we willing to take what God can give us? Whether it's whatever situation we're in, can we make it beautiful? And that's hard. Because I know in my own life as human nature, I want to do the sin thing. I want to do the grumbling, the bitter, the resentment, the depression, whatever it is. That's where I want to lean. And it takes a lot of getting down on my knees and praying and asking God to help me and to show me how He wants me to walk. And that means standing up. I know I've had to do some things in my own business lately. I've had to stand for more integrity, stand for more principles. And I've let them slack, and shame on me. And I can only point the finger at myself. I can't go blame somebody else. It's like what I was dealing with the frozen hose and hurt my toe. You know, when I bring this into it too, because I look at it, it was my own stupidity. I forgot to drain the hose. And it was me that hurt myself because of what happened. You know, and sometimes we want to point the finger at everybody else. And I'm good at it, let me tell you. I can point it at the machinery and everything else. But then you have to come down and God hits you over the head or hits you on the toe and goes, hey, it was your own fault. You know, stop and think about it. But, you know, that's the way life is. That's how we are as human nature, our sinful human nature. We are all called to reflect on what we speak about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does speak. By our words, we do build up or tear down. Do people learn of the loving character of God or the troublesome saint of God? Would we ever wish for a wandering child to stumble across our comments on an Adventist website? Does our speech honor God and those of the family of faith? Harmony with our speech can lead to eternal consequences. Ephesians 4:29 and Ephesians 5:2, I'm going to read. Probably a lot of you know this by heart. Let not corruptible talking come out of your mouth, but also such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And 5:2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Our speech can lead to eternal consequences, one way or another, for others. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. And finally, Jesus said, you will recognize them by the fruits. Matthew 7:16. The fruits of the little maid's faithful parenting was Naaman's physical healing and eternal salvation by God's grace. And what we say and what we don't say, may the fruit of our walk with God be the healing and salvation of all those whom God placed in our path and in the lives of our children. You know, as I read this and just kind of looking for something to preach on or teach or whatever for the last, it just was perfect because of some other things that were going on in my life and just everything. And you start to realize, you know, we have to be so careful in how we say things, what we say, what we do, how we represent ourselves, because it's not our reputation. Whose reputation is it? God's. Christ, yes. And work, everything we do is, what is our main purpose? God. Our priority? God. And I know, I don't know if all of you do this. This can kind of going to lead into kind of a New Year's thing. I know it's past the New Year's, but how many of us look back on our life in the past year and reflect? I know I try to. Not always do I, but it does happen. And can we reflect on the lessons that God taught us or the things we read that brought us to a better understanding of God? And can we go forward in this new year and look at and keep learning and keep growing where God wants us to go? Because that's the most important thing. And Scripture, it even says, you know, never stop learning. Doesn't mean worldly things, but it means godly things. And so we need to keep focusing on that. And I always go back to the one verse, and I don't remember it. It talks about be as wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Sometimes I'm not always good at that. And, you know, it's one of my prayers this year is, God, help me to be more obedient in love and compassion and the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, as I've been going through it, I keep learning, where is my example? And my example is the fruits of the Spirit. If I'm not representing them, then I'm got the wrong spirit in my soul. And it's very important to keep looking at those fruits of the Spirit. And I just pray that, you know, put that before us. We're all perfectly imperfect. And I know that's my wife and I's main thing. We both understand that we're perfectly imperfect. And that's what keeps us going to strive to God's glory and to go to heaven. And I guess that leads us to my closing. And I thank you all for being here in this beautiful church. And I'll tell you what, I am so glad and so blessed that all of you are so loving and so kind and that you're all here. And the visitors, thank you for coming. We just love you, appreciate you, and that you're willing to make a step and make a change in your own life. And the potluck. After this is a potluck. Let's fill our belly. Let's get some physical, is that physical or physical food? We got some spiritual food. So, and the closing hymn is 338, redeemed.